So on Mother's Day 2024, we have a guest speaker via the video board this morning. My intent was to find a Mother's Day sermon for us all to watch together today, and the sermon we're going to watch does have some good encouragement for mothers about halfway into it. However, the main point of the sermon is not really about motherhood. It's more of a word for all of us. Of course, part of the reason that we do these video sermons every once in a while is to get us exposed to people out there who God is using to spread his good word, people that are getting noticed, I guess, and that's true today as well. So let me tell you about our speaker we'll be listening to, Christine Kane. Christine Kane, who is of Greek descent, was abandoned by her birth parents in a Greek section of Sydney, Australia, and then adopted by a different Greek couple and raised in that area of Australia. So she looks Greek, but she has an Australian accent. She graduated from University of Sydney with an English degree and then holds a more recent master's degree in evangelism and leadership from Wheaton College in Illinois. She's an evangelist, author, and speaker who founded, along with her husband, Nick, a nonprofit organization called the A21 Campaign, which combats human trafficking around the world. They've also founded a group of churches called Zoe Churches, which essentially it's a network of church plants in Greece and Bulgaria and Poland. This video sermon was preached on Mother's Day in the pandemic, 2020, so it's going to have that weird vibe that we all had to live with back then of watching a pastor who's speaking in front of essentially an empty auditorium, right? But she handles that well. And then I was just going to say up front that she references the pandemic and the isolation that it created a few times in her sermon as examples of difficulties that her listeners were facing at that time, appropriately so. We no longer face those difficulties, but and thank the Lord for that. But when you hear her talking about that stuff today, you can substitute in your mind things that you are facing, difficulties you're facing these days, because we know that difficulties didn't stop after the year 2020. So, yeah, Miss Kane's central point this morning is one we've commented on many times here in the past, but I think it's good to hear from a different voice. And I think it'll be good for us to hear this message coming out of the experience that we all just have had of seeing our prayers for Mike Briegel's healing not answered in the way that we had hoped. It'll be good for us to hear this today. So let's listen in now. This is Christine Kane.
Church, I am so honored to be with my Eastside family today on Mother's Day. Can you believe that? Now, in case you don't know me, I'm your cray-cray Aunt Chris from Sydney, Australia, and I know that you wanted me to come over to your house. So today, wherever you are, there I am. And I love the fact that we are one church in thousands of locations this Mother's Day. So I am so honored to be here. Thank you, Pastor Jean. It's just awesome. We're going to dive right into the Word. And today, if you're wondering what I'm speaking about this Mother's Day, I'm speaking about the fact that we are going to have leftovers. Now, look, I come from a Greek family. My mother was a phenomenal cook. Now, during this quarantine season, I've had to hone my cooking skills. My own children are like, "Who are you? I didn't even know that you could cook." And so I'm pulling out my moussaka, my stuffed tomatoes, my feta cheese, my olives. I'm living the Greek dream. But my mom was an awesome cook, and my mom could do things with leftovers that you wouldn't even believe. Now, I'm sure right there, all of you have got a mother that thought, man, she could take the leftovers in the fridge, turn them around, and do something awesome. We're going to talk about what God can do with leftovers. So we're going to the book of Mark, chapter 6. I love this. I'm Australian, so we say Mark. So wherever you are in your home, I want you to say it like an Aussie. So I'm just waiting. 1, 2, 3, say Mark, as opposed to Mark. That's it. But we're going to dive right in. So the Bible says in verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Now, it is very obvious that they were not Greek, because we always find time to eat. They didn't have time to eat. And they went away to a boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Now when he went to shore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat from the food court in the Jerusalem Mall." Now, you won't find that in your text, but I just added that in today. But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. I want you to note that, because that's how they counted in the census, and they counted people in those days. They were in units and they counted the adult men. The Bible says, "Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them." It goes on and it says, "And about the fourth watch of the night," so that's about 3 o'clock in the morning, "he came to them walking on the sea." He meant to pass. Do you like that? It's just like there in the text, like Jesus just came to them walking on the sea, you know, because that's what you do when you're God. That's a perk of being God. You don't have to hire a boat. You just walk on the water. That's what happened. "And they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid.' And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened." I mean, I know that's a lot of scripture on this Mother's Day. For some of you, that's probably more Bible than you've read all year. So I've just caught you up on your Bible reading plan for the year. If you are falling behind right now on this Mother's Day, you have now just caught up, which is awesome. But this is a couple of familiar texts. And you think, "Christine, why did you read so many?" Because the truth is, many of us, we think we know the text about the loaves and the fishes, and we teach that and then just stop, but it doesn't stop. This whole text does not finish until Jesus gets back in the boat and says to the disciples, "By the way, boys, you really didn't understand what happened up there." So the text starts with the disciples having had taught, and they came back and they told Jesus what they'd done, and they were hungry. And so Jesus says, "We're going to go to the other side." Now, here is what is fascinating to me. Church, this is astounding to me. This is before there was any internet. This is before there was any Facebook, any social media, any Instagram. It's not that anyone put on a Facebook post or put on an Instagram story or sent it out on Twitter. They didn't get any cable network news. There was no microphones. But somehow, by the time Jesus and the disciples got to the other side, there were, at least we know from the text, 5,000 men. Now, if you include women and children, which I love to do, I'm a woman and I was a child. So if you include them, you know, scholars would say, and most commentaries would agree, that at least 15,000 people at bare minimum, and probably up to 25,000 people, were waiting for Jesus on the other side. No social media, no news network. Somehow there was up to 25,000 people waiting for Jesus. Can you believe that, church? There was a time when Jesus turned up that the crowds came, that everyone turned up to hear the words of Jesus. They didn't need anything else. He was enough. There was something so compelling, so magnetic, so attractional about him that they waited. And the Bible says Jesus got there and he saw them and he had compassion upon them. And so he began to teach them many things. I want you to know that a sign of compassion is opening the word of God and teaching this. We've come into your homes this Mother's Day, thousands and thousands of homes all over the place. And when we open this word and teach this word, it is an act of compassion. And we need this word of life and we need this word of hope in a time where it is easy to get overwhelmed. The word of God brings life. The word of God brings purpose. The word of God brings hope. They knew that and they turned up where Jesus is. And so Jesus began to teach them many things. The disciples go up to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, the Jerusalem food court is going to close down. We want the crowds to come back next week. So could you send them away to go and get something to eat? And I love what Jesus says. He looks at them and he says, you give them something to eat. Now they were astounded because have you ever noticed that God often says, you know what? Why don't you answer your own prayer? We go to God and we pray and we ask for things. And so often, church, we are the answer to our own prayers. Right now, we have the opportunity to be able to reach out to people in very unique ways and in different ways. But because we're each in our own homes, that means our church is not all meeting in one building right here, but we are meeting right where you are. And there are neighbors. And although we have to have social distancing, that does not mean we isolate. This is our opportunity to be able to reach out, to be able to serve and help in appropriate ways. But all of us are responsible for our own spheres of influence. Jesus said to them, you give them something to eat. To which they responded, but Jesus, this is going to be a whole year's wages. There is no way that we can have that much food that we can do it. You know, isn't it interesting that Jesus never asked them how much money they had, how much food they had? He had said, you give them something to eat. But they thought that Jesus said, could you please give me all the reasons why you can't give them something to eat? So many of us, we do this. The Lord asks us to do something or gives us some direction from his word. And then we're like, but God, I can't. But God, I don't have enough money. But God, I don't have enough time. But God, I don't have enough resources. But God, I'm a woman. But God, I'm a man. But God, but. And we give God all of these reasons. Why not? And it's so interesting because God already knows what our limitations are. It's not about what you and I are not able to do. It's about who Jesus is and what he can do in and through our lives. He says, you give them something to eat. I remember when we started the 821 campaign, I was like, Lord, I can't do, I'm a woman. I live in Australia. I don't know anything about human trafficking. The Greek government and the finance system is about to collapse and there is so much corruption. And it's almost like the Lord, I just sort of imagine him going, do you think I didn't know those things, Christine? I'm very well aware. And sometimes I think, especially in a moment like now, we could be thinking, God, I can't because didn't you know there's a global pandemic? Didn't you know there are challenges with my job? Didn't you know there are challenges in my circumstances? I thought I was going here and look what happened in this situation. And God goes, I know. I'm still God. I'm still sovereign. I'm still on the throne. I'm still on your side. And in the midst of all of this, I'm asking you, you give them something to eat. And then when they said they couldn't, Jesus, I could just imagine, was rolling his eyes and he says, go and see what you have. And for some of us on this Mother's Day, we have spent so much time thinking, God, I can't. We're looking at what we don't have. We're looking at how much we've lost. We're looking at what is not happening, what doors seem to have shut, what things have just seemed to have stopped in place. And we've stopped looking at what we do have because we're focusing extensively on what we don't have. So the Lord said to them, what do you have? Go and see. Because here is the truth, church. Here is the absolute truth that Jesus cannot multiply what you and I do not recognize. The ingredients for the miracle was right there in the midst of that crowd, but the disciples had not noticed it. And so until they saw that there is the ingredients right there in their midst, Jesus was not going to be able to do the miracle that he wanted to do. I don't know what ingredients you have right where you are. You're like, God, I want the big answer. He's saying, what do you have? What's in your hand? What's your gift? What's your talent? What's your ability right here? God's hands are not tied by a pandemic. He's saying, what do you have? Go and see. So they went, can you imagine what it would be like? Hey, Anybody got a spare lunch for 15,000, maybe 20 or 25,000 people? Did anybody's mother pack some extra fish, extra bread? I imagine how the disciples felt. And there was a little boy, and he looked down and he saw his lunch. And he must have thought, this is not enough for everybody. And so often, many of us think because we don't have enough to do everything, we end up doing nothing instead of the one thing that would activate something. Jesus never asked, what don't you have? He just said simply, what do you have? So this little boy says, okay, I've got 5 pieces of bread and I've got a couple of sardines. That's what my mother packed for lunch. Now, do you think that woman, when she was packing that little boy's lunch that day, realized that she was packing the ingredients for a miracle that I would be talking about on this Monday, on this Mother's Day in 2020 to Eastside Church, that a mother, and there's mothers watching this, and sometimes you think what you're doing doesn't matter. You think, some of you right now, you've become homeschool teachers and you didn't even sign up for it. You've got your kids there morning to night. And you know what? When you used to send them to school, that was the greatest blessing of God. Now your blessing is at home 24/7 and you're wondering if you're even sanctified anymore because of what's happening. Do you realize every little piece of just love and attention and nurture and care and grace you're giving to your kids right now, it matters? That woman packed a lunch, and I'm talking about that lunch, to Eastside Church in 2020. That woman didn't even know she was packing the ingredients for a miracle that Jesus was going to do. I just want to remind all the mothers today that wherever you are, those acts of sacrifice, selfless sacrifice that you're doing, you're packing the ingredients for a miracle. Every kind word, every act of love, every act of grace, God sees this. The little boy gave his lunch. And I could imagine Peter brought it to Jesus and said, see, Jesus, if you had listened to me, if you sent them down to the mall, it would have been better. But no, Jesus, we did it your way. So I asked everyone what they've got, and all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And I'm sure the Lord's thinking, oh, so you think I can't do a miracle because it's impossible. No, no, no. I needed you to go and see what you could do in your own strength, so that you could understand that in your own strength, all you were capable of doing was 5 loaves and 2 fish. But now that you've given this to me, and now that you recognize it's impossible, I want you to understand that impossible is where God starts. Miracles are what God does. Some of you are confronting impossible circumstances right now. We're in an unprecedented time. None of us have ever navigated a season like this before. And some of us, we need God to show up. And yet it looks impossible. We think, God, how is this going to happen? He says, oh, I've got this. Impossible is what I do. Miracles are what I do. Impossible is where I start. You don't even need God till it's impossible. So I want you to know on this Mother's Day, if you're feeling like I really need God to come through, you're in a good place, because that's where God tends to show up. And the Bible says that he took that and he blessed it. He blessed it. Do you realize that Jesus blessed what was never going to be enough? Some of you right now, you're thinking, God, how is this going to happen? How are we going to make ends meet? What is going to happen during this season? I want you to know that Jesus blesses our not enough. And when Jesus blesses it, the next thing he done, he began to break it. And the miracle of multiplication was in the breaking. Some of us are in a season of breaking right now. We're wondering, Lord, what is going on? We don't even know when this is going to end. We don't know what's going to happen. And we feel like we're being broken. But I want you to know that in that brokenness, God is doing a refining work on the inside of us. He is sanctifying us through and through. He is purifying us. And the miracle of multiplication happened in the breaking. While Jesus kept breaking, the people kept getting fed. You know, the interesting thing is the Bible says that the disciples distributed it. They all ate and they were all satisfied. And then here we go to the leftovers. Jesus said, hey, boys, I want you to go and pick up the leftovers. You wonder, why did Jesus leave leftovers? I mean, he could have stopped breaking that bread at the moment that the last crumb was eaten by the person in the crowd. But Jesus kept breaking until there was exactly 12 basketfuls of leftovers left. I don't know, some of you might be having leftovers for lunch today. Jesus made sure there was, because he was sending the disciples to the leftovers. And he said, I want you each. And that basket full actually denotes a sack. That's what it was, that each of the disciples had a sack, and they would fill that sack with fish heads and the bread that was left over, all of the leftovers. And you're wondering, why did Jesus do that? Why would he say, go and pick up the leftovers? Couldn't Jesus do the same miracle on the other side of the Sea of Galilee? When they crossed that sea, couldn't he just get more fish and do another new miracle? But Jesus said, no, I want you to go and I want you to physically pick up the evidence of the miracle that I just did. And I want you to put those leftovers into your basket. And I want you to take them into the boat that I'm putting you in. Because I'm putting you in a boat and I'm sending you into a storm. And this is what the issue is, church, that we had the miracle of loaves and fishes and we normally stop there. But that's not where the text stops. The power of the text is not in what the people ate. The power of the text was in the leftovers. It was in the things that were left over. Because God was saying to them, I want you to pick up the leftovers of the miracle that I just did. And I want you to put them in the boat that's going to take you into the storm. So when you get into the storm of tomorrow, I want you to look down at the leftovers and I want you to know that the same God that was with you on the mountain is the same God that's with you in the boat, is the same God that's going to get you through this storm, the same God that brought you here is the same God that's going to take you to the other side. Some of us right now feel like we're in a storm. We feel like we're in the greatest storm of our lives. On this Mother's Day, Eastside Church, what am I asking you to do? I'm asking you to look around to the leftovers. Has Jesus done anything for you before? Has Jesus saved you? Has Jesus delivered you? Has Jesus healed you? Has Jesus come through for you relationally, emotionally, spiritually, financially? Has he done something in your past? Well, I want you to pick up the leftovers of the miracles and say, the same God that did it for me there is the same God that's with me in the boat in this storm that I'm in right now. And he is the God that's going to take me to the other side. See, church, our power isn't in the here and the now. It's the God that brought us here. It's the same God that's with us here. It's the same God that's going to take us to the other side. It's Jesus that brought us here. It's Jesus that will keep us here. It's Jesus that will take us to the other side. I wonder if you've got any leftovers this Mother's Day. I wonder, what is it that Jesus has done before? You know, the interesting thing is if you lose sight of that, I mean, we're talking maybe 12, 13 hours after the miracle. Jesus comes out to the disciples who are in the middle of the storm. And because Jesus came out to them in a different way, he was walking on the water. The disciples did not even recognize him. They thought that he was a ghost. The same Jesus that just hours before they were taking loaves and fishes from, they watched the miracle of multiplication. That same Jesus, they didn't even recognize him because, see, they knew the Jesus that multiplied loaves and fishes, but they didn't know the Jesus that walked on water. In the middle of our storm, Jesus comes to us in a different way. Perhaps right now I'm coming to you in your home, wherever you are, thousands of homes. Well, you know what? Same Jesus, same Holy Spirit, same God, same Word of God, but sometimes he comes to us in a different way because the circumstances require something different. Some of us are so familiar with the Jesus on the mountain, multiplying the loaves and fishes, we can't recognize the Jesus that's coming. Same Jesus, but just in a different way and in a different form so that he can do what needs to be done in this hour. But I want to remind you this Mother's Day, sometimes in the middle of a storm, you just got to look down and go, where's my leftovers? This Jesus that did it for me there, he's with me in this boat. He's with us in the midst of this pandemic, church. He is with us in the midst of this storm. And he who promised is faithful. And all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. Yes and amen. And the same Jesus that brought us here, Eastside Church, He didn't bring us here for nothing. He brought us here to take us there. We're going to the other side. But the problem with the disciples is they were so used to the miracles of God that they did not recognize the God of the miracle. And in this hour, as each of us is in our home and wherever our shelter in place is right now, the fact is that this is our opportunity to get to know the God of the miracle in a personal way, to get to know this Jesus, because it always was Jesus, it always will be Jesus. And the same Jesus that's been faithful to us thus far is the same Jesus that's going to take us into our future. We're just not going to get caught up on Jesus doing it this way because Jesus is now doing it that way. And He is the one that is faithful. He is the one that still saves. He is the one that still delivers. He is the one that still heals. You know, when people look to me and say, Christine, look at all the work you're doing with A21 and Propel Women and the ministry around the world. And they say, you know, you must feel kind of secure in what you do. I go, no, my security is not in what I do now. My security is not in A21 in 20 cities around the world. I'm grateful for it. But that could change overnight, as we've just seen with the pandemic. Things could change overnight. Everything could change overnight. That's not where my strength is. My strength is in the fact that the same God that was with this kid that was left in a hospital unnamed and unwanted in Sydney, Australia, left by my biological mother. I don't even know who my biological mother and father are. But the same God that was with me in that hospital when I was left there, that same God that was with me there is the same God that's with me now. When I was being abused for many, many years as a child, the same God that kept me and protected me there is the same God that's with me now. When I grew up as a daughter of Greek immigrants in the back of Sydney, Australia, in the poorest zip code, the same God that was with me there is the same God that is with me now. My confidence is not in now. My confidence is in my leftovers from back there. The same God that was with me there, the same God that took this unnamed, unwanted, abused, adopted girl from the back of Sydney, Australia, plucked me out of anonymity and said, I'm going to send you to the nations to proclaim my word. That same God that did it then is the same God that's with me now. He's the same God that's with all of us. Church, it always was Jesus. It always will be Jesus. He brought us this far. He's going to take us all the way. Where are your leftovers? Check out what God has done for you this far. And on this Mother's Day, in every household at Eastside Church, we're all having leftovers. Your mum might have cooked the best lunch for you or dinner, but I want you to know as a church, we're having some leftovers. We're going to look at the miracles that God has done in our lives to bring us this far and trust that our faithful God is going to bring us through. He who promised is faithful. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you, Father. I thank you. I thank you for Eastside Church, Lord. I thank you for every person on the other side of the screen that's watched this morning. I pray for hope and faith to arise within us all, and that, Lord, we as a people would know that you who promised are faithful. And Jesus, you don't change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've brought us this far. You're going to take us all the way. We trust you. We trust you, Jesus. Friend, I wonder if you know this Jesus that I'm talking about today. I know I'm coming to you and I'm in households all over the world, literally. Some of you are watching this in your living room, in your kitchen, on your workout machine, maybe on your phone, whatever you're doing. I just want you to take one moment. I want to ask you the most important question of your life this Mother's Day. Friend, do you know this Jesus that I've been talking about? Not do you know about him, but do you know him? Friend, it's only Jesus Christ that can give us forgiveness for our past, a brand new start today, and a hope for the future. You were created by God for a relationship with God. It's Jesus that connects us to God and Jesus that connects us to the grace of God. The same Jesus that came into my life, an unnamed, unwanted, abused, adopted girl from the back of Sydney, Australia. That same Jesus that set me free, gave me a brand new life and a hope for the future, is right here, right now, ready to do the same for you. If you want to receive him as your Lord and Savior today, I'm just going to pray a prayer. And if you agree with me, I want you to pray this prayer right where you are with me, after me. And just on the bottom of the screen, there are further details on what to do after you pray this prayer. But I'm going to pray a simple but powerful prayer and believe that many people are going to put their faith in Jesus today, this Mother's Day. Dear Jesus, today I ask that you would forgive me for all of my sins, that you would give me a brand new start this day and a hope for the future. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ every single day for the rest of my life. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Amen. Amen.
Well, Christine Kane made a couple points there. I just want to highlight again as we close. Because we don't have enough to do everything, we often end up doing nothing instead of the one thing that would activate something. I had to listen to her say that 5 times before I wrote that down correctly. Because we don't have enough to do everything, we often end up doing nothing instead of the one thing that would activate something. Something looks impossible for us, and the first thing Jesus asks us is, what do you already have in your hands? Don't discount it. Use it. Get started. Don't let impossible stop you. Often, God has us get started because he needs to get us to the point of realizing we can't do it in our own strength, and then that's when he steps in. And yes, God still is a God of miracles, even though he didn't grant the miracle that we had asked for in the case of Mike Briel. The fact that he didn't do what we asked of him there does not dismiss all that he has done before in our lives, in the recent history of people and churches we know, in the stories written down in the Bible for us, like the loaves and the fishes, and Jesus walking on the water, Jesus calming the storm. He's still a God of miracles. He had a reason for not healing Mike, and we can trust him. So when we're in the midst of difficulty, when we're in the midst of a period where God has been silent, we look at the leftovers, huh? Remembering what God has done before and placing our confidence in that. Let's not waver in our faith in times of difficulty, church. Let's continue to hold on to God and hold on to our hope in him. And when the time is right, he'll show up again.